Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Paul sounds almost like a child trying to convince his parents that it wasn't his fault. That's not my fault. He made me do it. In our epistle text for today, he writes, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." No, really. It's not my fault. Sin made me do it. Or, you know, maybe what we imagine is sort of the criminal who's on the stand who decides he's going to plead insanity. "I wasn't in my right mind when I did those things. You can't hold me accountable because I am insane. It was the voices inside my head." Paul seems conflicted. Is he hearing voices in his head? Just what does Paul do when he's going through this whole thing? Is he crazy? Is he trying to pass the buck? No. Instead, what Paul is doing is he is recognizing how every Christian lives. You see, it doesn't matter how many times you set your mind or your body to do what is good. Somehow, you always end up doing wrong again. And so what I want you to do is I want you to think about every new beginning. First and foremost, we have the beginning of a new year, right? On the day one of a new year, many people, they set their minds to go to the gym to get in better shape or to eat right. Or they set their minds to do something to improve their quality of life. And it doesn't take more than a week or maybe a month for those who are really diligent to fail. At the start of a new week, maybe, you might set your mind to be more productive. You'll set up a whole to-do list of things you just want to accomplish this week. And then as the week goes on and you make it to Friday and you look at that to-do list again and you go, "Man, I probably wasted a little bit too much time because I didn't get much accomplished." Or maybe in the morning, you might convince yourself that you're going to have a more positive attitude. "I'm going to seize the day, I'm going to drink a cup of coffee, and I'm going to get to it. And nothing's going to get me down. Today's going to be a great day." And then as one issue leads to another, and one problem you have to solve leads to another problem that needs solving, and all of a sudden as the day starts to wane, you look back and you wonder when your positivity faltered. Now, these things might also apply to the secular realm, but it applies even more to the thoughts and actions of a Christian. Just like Paul, we have the desire to do what is good and what is right and what is God-pleasing, but somehow we don't have the ability to carry it out. No matter how many times we set ourselves and say, "I'm going to sin no longer. I'm going to walk the straight and narrow. I'm going to follow Jesus' example." And then we fail. In the church, there's a fancy saying for this. Simultaneously, saint and sinner. It means that at any point in your life, you are sinful to the very core of your heart. There is nothing good that dwells within you. 100% sinful. That is the state of every human being. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter how great or how little of a Christian, or even if you're an unbeliever versus a Christian, both are sinful to their very core. But then there's a second part. The saint part. And so while you still are 100% sinful, there's also that promise that Jesus Christ has died for you, that he has shed his blood for you, that you are forgiven, you are one who is redeemed, you are covered with the blood of Jesus. And that means your sin has been put away. It means that the sin no longer counts against you, which means that you are 100% sinless. How do these two things exist together? 100% sinful and 100% sinless equals 200%. But not in God's math. In God's eyes, you have 100% sinful, 100% sinless because of Jesus, and you get 100% Christian. That's what Paul is talking about, and this is what God wants you to know through the epistle reading today, is that every day we live with these two dichotomies going on, and every day is a battle, because the sinful part, the you know, everything that's going on as far as the devil, the world, and yourself is trying to overcome the forgiveness part, to snuff it out. And consequently, then the forgiveness part is fighting to try to get the upper hand, to try to snuff out the sinful part. And there's this constant battle. It's almost like, you know, you see in the cartoons or in movies and stuff, and they got a demon on one side and you got the angel on the other, and they're fighting back and forth. That's what's going on in a Christian's head every day of their lives. Two voices. One voice is the Holy Spirit, and the other voice is sin. The struggle is real. And to be quite honest, it's exhausting. It really is. To constantly have this war going on, these voices, so to speak, it's hard. Life is hard. Being a Christian is hard. And so often we just get sick of fighting. We're tired of the struggle. We grow weary. We give in. We commit sins even though we don't want to. And then half a second later, we hate ourselves for it. Screwed up again. We hate that we're not strong enough to endure and be faithful. And so like Paul, we have a question. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver you from the struggle? Who will deliver you? Who will set you free? Jesus Christ. That's precisely why Jesus came, and that's why Jesus makes a promise to you. Come to me, all who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My friends, Jesus is no stranger to what you go through every day. He lived with the same temptations. He lived with the same sin in the world. He lived with the same struggle. In fact, he actually did, in a matter of speaking, have the devil sitting on his shoulder, whispering into his ear, trying to get him to fall. But he didn't. He struggled with sin. He struggled with Satan. He struggled with death. And he was victorious. He won. He finished the struggle and he passed the test with flying colors. No sin for his entire life. And he did it for you. Because you know what? He knew that you couldn't do it. He knew how often you would give in to temptation. He knew how often you would give in to the struggle and just give up on the day. Jesus knew it all, and that is why he did it perfectly. That's why he lived the perfect life. It was for you and for your salvation. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to worry about winning the struggle against that sin in your mind. Why? Because Jesus has already won it for you. He's already done all of the hard work. And that perfection of Jesus becomes yours. In school, they called it the sweet swap. Because on one hand, we have the sinless Jesus, and on the other hand, we have the 100% sinful person that I and you are. And how do we get it? It happens on the cross, where Jesus takes your place as a sinner. He endures the wrath of God. He sheds his blood, and he dies a death that you deserve. He does it so that you might know that he has won. He does it so that you might know that he has forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven by that very death. My friends, it's even better. Because we don't have to sit here and guess at whether or not the promise is for me. Not only has God told you that this promise is for you, but when Jesus walks out of the tomb 3 days after his death, he proclaims victory, and he sort of puts a stamp of certification on it going, this sacrifice was good. This sacrifice was approved by God. Take the check to the bank and cash it because it's done for you. It means in Jesus' victory, you are victorious. But my friends, there's still that struggle. And don't think that this is permission for you to go out and sin as much as you want, because the Lord tells us, does this mean we can go out and sin and do whatever we want? No! No, we still live that struggle with sin and forgiveness and the Holy Spirit and Satan constantly doing battle. That's spiritual warfare. But in the midst of the struggle, and especially in those times when you give in to your sin, Jesus welcomes you into his forgiveness. He welcomes you to receive the fruit of his cross, to receive his blood, and to rest in the promise of salvation as he's raised from the dead. My friends, today's a fresh start. Be strengthened daily and have a new beginning in the blood and death and victorious resurrection of your Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.